Blog Talk Radio.
This is how we do it. Hello, hello, everybody. It's glad to be with you again tonight. Last night we had an outstanding show. This is Real Talk 2. Actually, we want to call it Talking Real to You, because that's a great opportunity for you to share some ideas, talk about all issues, social, economic, political, educational, financial, just plain old life issues that you have to deal with every day. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. On top of that, if you want to just listen to the show, the web link is www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Alberta Smith Production. And my co-host tonight is Coach Lauren D. Smith.
Good afternoon. Well, good night, everyone. I'm glad to be on tonight. I'm glad to bring something new. Talking Sports Plus is a plus, but also to be able to sit and talk about issues that are facing America, not only America, but it's the entire world. So I'm excited about tonight.
Awesome, awesome. Our special guest, and I want to make sure he have the same opportunity to welcome everybody. That's Minister Timothy Kenny.
Thank you for Lorenzo for having me on tonight. I'm honored to be on your show, Talk Real, I guess Talk Real 2, everybody, and that's all I have to say.
Okay, that's awesome. Now the question comes up, and again, thank you all for being here tonight, both my co-host and my guest tonight. Thank you for taking time to kind of come on the air and share some things with our listeners. What we want to do, and the reason why we came up with this Talking Real to You, which is Real Talk 2. Actually, it was something that I just sat around and I had a dream about. I want to come and talk about social issues. Yes, we talk about sport, but let's talk about some of the social issues. This is an opportunity to do some candid conversation about all topics. Now, normally your real talk shows just talk about basic issues. We're going beyond to something special. We're going to take it to another level, which is talking real to you. And we got to understand, when we're talking to you, you have a tendency to hear what we said, and also you have an opportunity to come back and share that conversation with us. What we want you to do by calling in to 347-857-4192, when you get on the line and press 1, and I'll tune you in so you can talk to us by using the last 4 digits of your telephone number, and I'll ask you to give your name and your location, and then we'll go from there. And another side of this is the reason why I wanted to do this is that it gives an opportunity to have a show where you have a father and daughter team bringing you energetic conversation about political issues, social issues, educational issues. Then we have guests come on like Minister Kenny come on tonight, coming on tonight to talk with you and share some things with you. So, again, welcome to each and every one of you. We're going to get the show started off. Minister Timothy Kenny, I want you to kind of share some things with us about yourself and why you're taking the journey you're taking at this point and in Georgia, in your location. And I'm going to sort of turn the mic over to you and let you share some things with them. Then we'll come back and we'll ask you some questions talking about those projects you have going on, your candidacy for county commissioner, and we're just going to turn it over to you, Minister Kenny.
All right. This is I don't like to say Minister Kenny, even though I am a licensed ordained minister. I just like to say Tim, because I just like the feel of the people. I am the CEO of Game Changer. Game Changer is an organization I found 4 years ago, which are geared towards our youth. I'm very passionate about what I do with our youth, mentoring them. And we have our conference. This will be our third year for the conference. And it gets bigger every year. We're expecting like about probably over 2,000-something young men and women that we're catching them at a place in their lives where it's not traditional church anymore. We're giving music, we're giving workshops, we're having great speakers to come in and reaching our kids at where they're at now. And we've been doing this for three years now, and we're doing it even bigger this year. We got a big lineup showcase on the Friday night to kind of kick off everything, and we're doing a big tribute to Edwin Hawkins, which is a great mentor and a friend that passed, the legendary Edwin Hawkins. I'm sure everybody knows about it. And so I've been working on that as well as, you know, mentoring in our community, fighting for my community in different issues, such as, you know, we have stuff going on in our community, such as cleaning trash. What can I say? Being a community advocate at our schools for our kids. We have homelessness in our community as well. So I've been working on a lot of stuff, as such as running for the commissioner of District 4 of Clayton County. If you don't know where that is, that's close to the airport, Hartsville Airport. If anybody knows, if you're in Georgia, and I'm running for this position, been on the campaign trail for about a year now. The election is May 22nd, 2018. I'm running against an incumbent, probably got three other people that's in the race right now. But, hey, I'm running this race to be the voice for my community. And on this, you know, I talk about, if you follow me on Facebook, Timothy Kenny, I talk about moving the county forward. I talk about new mission, new leadership, new image for this seat. And things that I'm going to talk about on my campaign run, as I've been talking about it, economic development. Everybody wants to know that you have jobs that are coming to your county. But I have to stop, and I tell people every time I talk about economic development, I tell them first we have to make sure what we have in our county fits what we got. We must beautify our county first in order to attract people to our county, in order to attract jobs to our county. And I'm not talking about $9 hour jobs. I'm talking $20 to $30 hour jobs. We must beautify what we have and change up our landscape in our county. Education is a big passion of mine because I am an educator. I teach kids, and coming together with, you know, local officials and coming together with the Clayton County Public School to see what we can make our county a stellar county. Right now, we just hired our new superintendent in our county. He's doing a phenomenal job and benefiting. You probably saw him on the Channel 5 News as he talked about Clayton County schools are closed today and go out and enjoy the snow and have fun and all that good stuff. And safer communities. I believe it takes a village to raise kids. I was raised by my grandma, my mom, my aunts, my uncle, my brother. So I believe in partnering with our community and religious leaders in the community and our parents to reduce crime. Because if you know, I look at a lot of our kids. I go to the court systems all the time. I'm looking at kids that's in our court system. And a lot of kids is not that they don't have what it is that they want. It's just they're bored. So we need to give our teens and our young people something else to occupy their minds so they won't go to the whole stealing and being in jail. Because right now we have a lot of teens I deal with, a lot of teens I see in our county, they're in jail for craziness, stealing iPads, flat screen TVs. And we got to get them something else to do. But as a commissioner that's going to be elected, I look at being a ear for my people in my district. And I want to be that ear for them to listen to what they have going on, to actually execute what I listen to with my citizens of my district. Because a lot of things is the citizens want to know that you're listening to what their wishes are in your district. and a lot of that hasn't been happening. And I say being engaging with my community is very important to me. Not also, a lot of people always say, you don't use the name minister or doctor when you're out there, because I want to be engaged. I want to catch the people where they at in the community. If I'm always using doctor this or minister that, a lot of people tend to stray away from it, Lorenzo. So that's my vision, new mission, new image, and new leadership moving Clayton County forward 2018. And I'm back to you, Lorenzo.
Okay, and that's awesome, Tim. And, you know, I've been knowing Tim a long time. So, and I know where he's been and where he's going. And I'm very proud of what he's doing. The first question I want to ask you in regard to when you just mentioned in your campaign and the platform and what you was doing in Game Changer, how can you intermingle those two organizations I believe you will be elected as the county commissioner. I got that much faith.
Thank you. I receive that.
My point is, how can you use some of the projects and some of the ideals that you have in the Ministry of Game Changer to be used to make sure our Clayton County, the District 4 area, can grow, prosper like it needs to prosper?
Well, a lot of things that's going on. I've been working with fellow elected officials on trying to get a rec center in the district, because we're the only district. We have four districts. Now, we're the only district that don't have a rec center for our young people. So with rec center not having a rec center for our young people, they don't have a place to go. And I intermingle my Game Changer is because I deal with youth. I mentor to youth. You know, I have a mentoring of right now 50-some youth who we mentor to, and we try to steer them on the right way, because I believe that if you learn how to mentor our youth and steer them on the right way, they'll be on the correct path. And being a commissioner, they need to see role models out there. A lot of our young people are not seeing African-American role models that are setting the standards, that are actually doing and living up to what they have. And I used to look at that when I was growing up, coming into the frat, you know, and I always say we make mistakes in life, but we learn from the mistakes. We don't stay at what the mistake did to us. We learn and move forward. And I really saw my passion of being a youth pastor, being a youth minister now, and then running for this position and saying, I want to be the ear. I want to be that role model that young person said, if Tim Kenny can do it, then I can run and be a councilman, a commissioner, or a mayor. If Keisha Lance Bottom did it, then I can do the same thing.
That's awesome. Coach Smith?
I have a question for you. What projects have the organization performed in the last year?
I can hear you.
Say it again.
What projects have Game Changers performed in the last year?
What do you mean, what project?
What have you went out and done as an organization in the community to better the community
Last year? Last year, we pulled together. We had this, I don't know if you're familiar with Georgia, we had a little girl that was killed at 17 years old in the park in Clayton County. And me and another commissioner, she did her thing, but I pulled together a big program called Stop the Violence Movement. If you want to go to my page, you'll see it, where I pulled together elected officials like judges, the sheriff of Clayton County. I pulled together lawyers. I pulled together the councilmen and pulled probably about 10 elected officials together to talk about what do we do and how do we stop the violence in our neighborhoods. And it was a very successful event. Actually, we're going to do it again this year. We were supposed to do it in February, but a lot of stuff didn't happen, but we're doing it somewhere in April. But that's the event that we worked on just at the Spirit of Morning, and we had over like 200 to 300 some people to come out to pull that together in a short amount of time with what we was dealing with in Clayton County. That was one of the projects.
Okay. And just to kind of jump in, Let me jump in right quick. Timothy, I have kept up with you on Facebook, and we communicate. I know there are several projects you have done, like feeding the homeless, going out and making sure, even though I know as an educator, your children, just not because of in school but outside of school, you'll just kind of share some thought in regards to, you know, what exactly, if it was through Game Changers, just through your goal to make sure our community are successful. Can you just kind of talk about specifically like the working with the homeless, making sure they're fed during the holidays, or clothing, any kind of drives like that?
Okay, dealing with those drives, you know, I'm going to talk about Game Changer, how that came in existence, but a lot of the stuff that I'm doing with Feeding the Homeless and Mentor Program is stuff that my fraternity, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, taught me, and when I came into the fold. And it's kind of like, even though you're in a fraternity, you do it outside of your fraternity, and you do stuff like on a work day or work week at your job. And passion, you know, when you find your passion of mentoring to kids and doing the homeless, you understand, people don't understand what it is to be homeless if you ain't never been homeless. I can't say I never been homeless in that form and fashion. I can say that I have been homeless where I had to sleep in the car until I got the money up to get my place for probably about 2 to 3 months. I can't say that. But I've never been homeless where I was on the curb or had to sleep on the building or whatever to make it. And it's I feel, as Atlanta, we have a lot of homeless. And just finding out 6 months ago that my own county, I've been serving homeless people in Atlanta, but 6 months ago I found in my own county that we have homeless people in my county of Clayton County. We have high school, middle school students that are homeless that don't have food. And I have partnered, as of last week, I partnered together with Operation Lunchbox, which is an organization that feeds homeless people. They get food from everywhere, from Publix, Kroger's, and all that. And we go out and feed and give them toothpaste and, you know, toothbrushes and clothes, and trying to find them a place to stay with their family. So I've been very instrumental in my county when it comes to those projects, because, you know, you think of Atlanta has this homeless problem, but now you have this homeless problem in your own county that you're running for, that you've been living in.
That's awesome. Brother Tim, have you run into any resistance from venues like Kroger's or Publix, and when you go to them and ask them to help with the situation with feeding these individuals, or even to the point you may be able to talk with them about getting young people off the streets and getting them jobs? Have you had any resistance from these major food chains?
Well, I haven't had no real resistance. They are, when you go out to Kroger's or Publix, they are willing to give and help and give you that food, because it's a lot of food that go to waste at Kroger's and Publix, and they have to write it off. So they are willing to give that food away. I'm at a mega church and on the south side in Clayton County, Divine Faith International Ministries. Publix give us bread and everything every month. A whole bunch of bread to give to not only church members, but we have food to give to the community as well.
Awesome.
Besides Kroger's and Publix, what other organizations are you partnering with, or have you partnered with?
I hear you clearly.
I said, I know you said you partner with Kroger's and Publix to feed the homeless and provide food and necessities. But what other organizations organizations have you partnered with?
We partner with a couple smaller organizations, the Women's of Clayton, and different other smaller entities in Clayton County to also do the same thing. Those are just some of the bigger ones on the thing that we deal with, and that have a when you deal with smaller organizations, they sometimes can't give you that ongoing help. But Kroger's and Publix give that ongoing food help every month.
That's great. We're going to kind of diverge just a little bit because I know you said something about it about a minute ago about why did you decide to organize Game Changer. You kind of said you want to share some thought about that. Why did you just through that ministry you decide to organize Game Changer?
As I was, you know, working into my fraternity and, you know, mentoring and kind of finding my call, I was sitting in church, in my church, and my bishop was talking about, he was talking about a game changer. The subject was, the sermon was a game changer. And he was talking about people in life such as Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, that are game changing. I was like, wow. I started, and I went home and started, I listened to the sermon. I was like, game changer. Then all of a sudden, God gave me this vision to have this conference called Game Changer, have this Game Changer tour. The Game Changer tour is a tour that we go to each college and we kind of mentor, not mentor, but we have a panel of different people that tell their stories that, you know, their dark stories to where they're at right now. And, you know, my story, as I testify, is, you know, growing up in a foster home, and being abused by my mom, me and my brother, and staying in the foster home until my grandma took us over until where I'm at now. You know, after all that, I made it through. But we have, like, different aspects of the game changer. And when I tell you, when God gives you a vision, you just run with the vision. And 3 years later, the vision is still going. And even probably after I leave this, when I leave this world, I want the game changer to still go on after that. The legacy still goes on.
I have a follow-up question for you for that. So just keep it moving with it. What suggestions do you have for individuals who would like to start a community service organization such as yours?
I didn't get it beginning. You said starting on a community service organization.
I said, what suggestions would you have for individuals who would want to start a service organization to help their community such as you did?
I would say, one, write the vision and make it plain. Write what you want to do in your service organization, make it plain. Get the bylaws and constitution together. If you wanted to be a 501c3 or you just wanted to be just a small business, I would say first write the vision. A lot of people know what they want to do, but they don't write everything down to be on point to where we need to be. Like, I wrote everything down, and it's like 6 months I'm supposed to be here, a year I'm supposed to be here, 3 years later I'm supposed to be here. You know, I would say first just write the visions down and make sure you have the right people around you that's going to push the vision, because if you don't have the right people around you that's pushing the vision, it's going to go nowhere.
That's a very true statement.
Okay. That's awesome. That's awesome, Tim. But let me take this time. I have to put my plug in so I can make sure my callers who wants to maybe ask you a question or just want to talk with you, they have an opportunity.
Okay.
Again, the number is 347-857-4192. And you press 1. And once you press 1, I will look at the last four digits of your number and I'll allow you to come on. But as a possibility, we may have a caller right here. If you just hold on.
Okay.
Brother Tim, and I'm a can I get? And this is caller with the last four digits of 8514. You're on. Tell us what your name and your location, then you can join in the conversation.
Hello, I am Latay Pickett. I was just calling to listen in. Just getting some ideas. It sounds really good. I'm just listening. I really don't have a question right now, but I am just interested in what he is saying.
Okay. Thank you.
We thank you for calling. Matter of fact, I'll say that Ms. Pickett will be a guest next week on our show, and I appreciate her listening to it tonight. She kind of see what direction we're going, so we do thank you for that. But just hold on to the line, listen to us, and we'll move forward with our program. Again, thank you, Ms. Pickett.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
All right, Tim, we're going to sort of like take our step away from the game changer, and let's talk about you being the next county commissioner being elected for Clayton County District 4. We want to kind of talk, because this is a platform to kind of share those ideals, which I know you're doing it. You're campaigning constantly, because you say in May of this year the election will come into play, and I, you know, my prayers and I, my belief, and as I speak it, that you will be elected the county commissioner. One question that I have, as the candidate for county commissioner, what will be your great attribute? What can you offer once you get in there and be elected?
I would say my greatest attribute I want to do, and I've been focused on, is bringing jobs to the county that not only pay good, but it's for people that stay in the district, in the county. Because what happens is we have a big county, we have great jobs, but we don't have those jobs that pay $20 to $30 an hour. As I'm around campaigning, I'm a little disappointed because I see parents that are trying to make ends meet, and they got to go to a job and make $10 an hour, but then they got to work another job for 40 hours, which they're working two jobs, 40 hours a piece, 80 hours a week for $10 an hour. I want to bring jobs that's going to be to the county, that's going to bring them to the point where I can quit my two jobs and only work one job. Because when as a parent and you're and what's going lacking is, so I want to be the pioneer to bring not just some jobs, but bring many jobs to Clayton County.
That is good, and it's good to hear that. You mentioned earlier when you say that it can happen for Mayor Bottom, it can happen for anybody who desires. I know I have seen you have a consistent relationship, however you call it, how close, how far, I don't know, just with Mayor Bottom. What, from watching her campaign or being part of her campaign, maybe, what exactly you can kind of say was the tipping point with her in her election? And you just speak, and it's over with now. She's there. She's going to work hard. But you may have a better vision or see a little different because you may have you around her, you know her person. Can you share anything in regards to that?
Well, working with Mayor Bottom, I was honored to work on that campaign. I was one of those people that was there hitting those doors every day. I'm telling you, I get off at 2:30 from school, I go to the office, they give me my list, I'm out hitting doors, hitting doors, hitting doors. And one thing she said that she took from Nelson Mandela, it's always seems impossible until it's done. And she always said that. It always seems impossible till it's done. And I to this day, I always kind of speak that to myself as going into my race. Anything is possible. She came into this as an underdog. But what I truly believe that the lights start to come on into people's head, and they realize that we got to go out and vote. And I'm talking about African-American people, because we tend not to go out and vote. Nothing against the Caucasians. Caucasians always vote, but us African-Americans tend to think our vote don't count. As I was on this campaign and on my own campaign, African-Americans don't believe their vote counts. And I'm here tonight to tell y'all, whoever is listening, every one of your votes counts. Whether you think it do or not, your vote is your vote. Can put somebody in office and to vote somebody out of office. The choice is up to you. But I love Mayor Bottom and what she stood for. You know, she stood her ground, even with all odds against her. There was just a lot of people in that campaign. If you looked at it, it was so many people in that, and it boiled down to the two women in the campaign.
All right, that's great. And you know, I haven't had a chance to meet her. Hopefully one day I get a chance, maybe sometime in the future, to meet her, because It was just resounding how the support that came out, and individuals are still talking about the job that was well done. Brother Tim, I'm going to sort of like kind of step a little bit away from your state, and I don't know whether, because I think all eyes was on Alabama, and it was dealing with politics. And it was dealing with the election of a senator. Alabama election of a senator that was always controlled by the Republicans, that seat for a long time. And it was changed by exactly what you said. If everybody get out and vote, then you can make a difference. You can either put somebody in office or remove somebody or don't let somebody get in the office. So let me just kind of put this out. You was in the state of Georgia, and I know you heard about it. Now, just tell me.
Oh, everybody heard about that race. That was a number one. That was a number one topic in Atlanta, in Clayton. You know, if Atlanta can do it, then Alabama can do it. And I want to send kudos to Alabama because y'all did a job well done, which voters came out to vote, truly vote. And they probably wouldn't going to, but it goes to show the light is turning on in our heads out there, and we realize that our vote matters. Our vote in Alabama cancel out somebody out of office and put somebody new in office with brand new ideas that can push Alabama forward. So y'all sending kudos to all of Alabama because y'all did the same thing that Atlanta, Georgia did to elect Keisha Lance Bottom, and it happened in Alabama.
And yes, and it did. And before Lauren, you ask a question, share a point of view, let me again go and make sure we get our call-in number out there, 347-857-4192. And if you want to share some thought, some conversation about what, and add to the conversation, just press 1, and we'll identify the last 4 digits of your telephone number, then ask you to come and identify yourself in your location. Tim, one of the things that came out of this election here in Alabama, because you say everybody was watching it, because I know I heard from Florida, Detroit, all over the country, Georgia, we heard everybody talk about it. One of the main groups that we have to give credit to is the females. The females came out and stood in line
in numbers.
Just 4 hours, 3 hours, and they came out in numbers. Now, is an opportunity that when you running for elected office that you focus on a particular group, or you just focus on everybody? I just want to get your thoughts in regards to that.
Well, you have to kind of look at the numbers of who's from previous elections, who's been coming out, and you start to focus on the people that didn't come out. My election, you know, African-Americans don't come out. The plan that I had is getting the African-American group registered first. A lot of them are voters, but they're not registered in the county or the district that they may stay in. They might be registered in Atlanta. And you have to focus on everybody. Everybody is all lives matter at this moment. So I focus on everybody. I focus on the Mexicans. I focus on the Hispanic. I focus on the Vietnamese people, because every vote in your election counts, whether it's African-American, whether it's Caucasian, every vote counts.
That's awesome. Thanks. Phone, chop it up, Lauren.
She's chopping up.
Yeah. I wanted to add something. I'm still chopping up.
No, come on with it. Just come on with it. See, can we get it out of you? Come on.
Okay. I just wanted to add something to what he said, is how he's going to focus on every vote, the Latino, the African American. That was a pivotal point in the presidential race that we saw last year, of how one candidate focused so much on one vote that they missed the other, or how a candidate didn't focus on one and they got the other. But I just wanted to add that is a very important thing when it comes to running for office and being elected, and campaigning is involve everyone. So you never know who's going to show up on the day of the election. So you must include everyone.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people when they run, they don't include. They just include. I'm going to worry about the African American vote over here, and you got to worry about everybody because. When elected as a commissioner of my district, I'm focused on everybody. Just because I'm African-American, I'm not just focused on our African-American problems. I'm focused on those problems as well as the Caucasian problems, as well as the Hispanic problems, as well as the Latinos and all that. You have to be focused, and you have to be an open-minded leader as elected official to focus on everybody and not just one color.
And that's for sure. And we have to make sure we do that. And again, as you said earlier, every vote counts. And we have to make sure we not just focus on one particular group and then forget about the other group. So that's all a part of election in the process. It's a privilege to have an opportunity to vote. And you can vote in the election. Now, you know, as you stated, in May, you'll be voting. You'll be voting for county commissioner. And we truly, truly believe that. And we said it numerous times. We're going to keep on saying that you'll be elected as the District 4 County Commissioner. That's just my prayer to make sure that happens. We want to move to the national issues. And I just want we're going to have some dialogue on, for example, the first topic. What are your feelings about the president wanting to build the wall? I know in the state of Georgia, we don't have to worry about a wall because we have an ocean to the right of us, if you're standing there facing it, or to the east of us, and you got Alabama on the left, Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina around you. But what is your thought in reference to the president wanting to build a wall?
First of all, I'm going to say this: I do pray for our president each day. My word says you have to pray for our president and other leaders. But I do believe building a wall would divide us. I don't believe a wall should be built, because why would you build a wall? A wall is built to divide you from the other people.
Exactly. You know, if we go into history, we can realize that when you build, the Soviet had a wall, and they had to tear that wall down. You know, and the Great Wall of China, what it was to keep the servants out of the area where all your royalty was. Anytime you build a wall or talk about a wall, but that's not going to stop individuals. And this is coming from me. My opinion is it's not going to stop individuals. They'll find another way to get in. They'll find another way if they had to dig up under the wall. But they're going to get here because this is the land of opportunity, the land where you can prosper no matter who you are. And we just have to make sure we understand that while we are, because we was born here as citizens, that we make sure we understand that we can grow to meet our potential, but we have to give an effort. And Brother Timothy is trying to share that through the opportunity he's given by running for county commissioner, being the CEO and Ministry of Game Changer. Those things are just an opportunity to make it better for each and every one of us. It's not about color. It's all about individuals having the opportunity. And that's what we're going to continue to applaud him and say, keep doing a great job. But we have a few more questions that we want to ask. And I'm going to let my co-host ask the next question. Coach Lauren, you want to ask that next question?
I can go ahead and ask you. I know you said you were an educator, I graduated undergrad from Alabama State University with a Bachelor of Science in Physical Education. So it's always good to talk to another educator. But my question is, what are some of the educational issues that the children in your county are facing?
A lot of the education issues that we face in the county that I've seen, kids are not engaged with their teachers. So as a teacher, you must understand learning can't take place if you're not engaging in your class. What we're finding is a lot of teachers are not engaging in with their class. They're just giving the work and saying, here, do the work. But with kids, you got in teams, you got to engage them in order for the learning process to begin. Because if they're not engaged, they're not going to want to learn what you're trying to give out.
That's true. We face the same problem here in Alabama where teachers are not engaged. We call them PowerPoint teachers. So what they do is they pull a PowerPoint up on the smart board, and that's how teach, and they read verbatim from the PowerPoint, and there's no engagement. There's no eye-to-eye. There's no conversation going on. So when the disrespect occurs in the classroom, it's solely because I haven't had that time with you. I don't know what you're about. All I know is you're a PowerPoint lady or you're a PowerPoint teacher. I don't have a connection with you. So the disrespect is coming because I don't feel there's any coming your way either. So I understand what you're saying about the disconnect, because we see it here in our school system here, and I really believe that Montgomery County has the worst school system in America. And I'm going to say this. I'm not trying to take your time, but I do believe this is the worst school system because we have failed our children academically, socially. We have failed them. We failed them for 5 years. Those 5 years when they call post-graduation, we have failed them. So until they're about 24, failure has occurred. They do not know how to do anything for themselves because they have not been taught the basic and necessities. Necessities, I'm really not talking about math, science, reading, none of that. I'm talking about communication, how to speak, how to introduce yourself, how to have a conversation with other people. We have taken that out of school system, and we have went to what we call a common core education. Everybody doesn't learn a common core education. Some people need that okay, let's put this aside. What do you understand? And we don't have that here. Your feedback.
Wow.
Well, we don't have that here in Montgomery. So I kind of took off your little spotlight, but it's bothering me. I'm glad you opened it up.
Let me ask you something. Have y'all put together a curriculum to go and inspect each of the classrooms and say, hey, let me see what's going on in this classroom? Because the point is I'm putting together a plan to go to each teacher classroom, see why they ain't engaging. Because if as a liaison, if you can – some teachers might be burnt out. They might have been teaching 25 years. They might be burnt out. And they're so used to a PowerPoint of I give you the work and I'm done, compared to what the kids that we have these days, they want you to be engaging. One thing about me, I keep my class engaging. If I need to find different things for my kids to learn, I would, like, for example, Juju on that beat. Kids love Juju on that beat. Well, I teach elementary school, so in order to get my class and learning their ABCs and their 1, 2, 3s, we put on a Juju Brie instrumental, and we go over the ABCs. That way, music is a part of everybody. Everybody loves music. So when you put the Juju beat with some ABCs and some 1, 2, 3s, they remember it. We have to, as teachers, you got to find methods to keep your kids engaged in every day. Because my thing is, if I have kids that can't write their ABCs or whatever, this is what I do. Now, most teachers don't do what I do. I take 4 kids that are in weak spots in my class, and I deal with them 30 minutes a day, me and my assistant. So we'll work on their weaknesses for 30 minutes each day till they get it right. Now, most teachers don't do that. They just be like, the kid don't get it. But I'm a very passionate teacher when it comes to my kids and wanting them to go to the next level, because I always want somebody saying, I know they came out of Mr. Kenny's class because they knew everything that they needed to know when they came to my class.
That is great. Again, let me make sure I give our call-in number, and because we have about 15 minutes left in the show, and the callers will call in, and then they can offer some thought and conversation. Is 347-857-4192. When you call in, just press 1, and I'll identify you with the last 4 digits of your telephone number or cell number and ask you to identify yourself and where you are. Now, we did get a question through an email, and I want, and this is coming from Georgia, so I'm going to read you the question. The question said, make sure you ask the speaker what is the status of the MARTA rail coming to Clay County, Georgia?
The status of the MARTA, they're working on the rail system to come to Georgia. I've been very engaging on each of those meetings. It's a work in process now because we have a lot of stuff dealing with MARTA. We're just getting back MARTA. And now, you know, it's other things that are before the whole rail thing. That isn't kind of coming in the future. But a lot of the focus right now is for our MARTAs are running good in Clayton County, but we have to focus on what we're going to do with trash cans. Because right now, as everybody knows, Clayton County, right now, they have no amenities. If y'all know MARTA in Atlanta, they have the roof and all that stuff. When you're sitting at the stops, a lot of our stops in Clayton County is just a pole with the number of the bus, our black trash bag, taped around it, which is,
okay.
It upsets me that I have to see this every day, and I see people out there. When it's raining, they don't have anything to sit under. So our focus right now is getting the amenities and getting them a sitting place, a roof over the stop right now before we get to the rail system. But the rail system is in the future. It's coming because we want to make it where people can live in Clayton County and they can get on the rail system right across the street or in the middle of probably Charles Boulevard, how is it going to go, if you're familiar with Clayton County, and get on it and ride it down to downtown Atlanta, ride it to Alpharetta. That is, we're working on that.
Yep, that is good right there. And I just want to ask one other question, and I don't know what district this falls in. I travel from Florida to Atlanta and beyond, and I noticed that, you know, down in Florida, in South Florida, throughout Central Florida, you have more or less what they call them, toll bridges. You have toll roads. Now, a lot of them down in Florida, you know, it's so you don't have to spend money. You can get an account and just keep going and go on. Now, I noticed in 75, on I-75, in Jonesboro, there's a toll road. How long has that been existing, and have you heard anything, whether it's effective enough to help out Clayton County?
You mean a toll booth in Jonesboro?
I don't know, but I know you get off the 75 and you go up on a toll road, and it's a toll road. And I saw it, and I was kind of shocked because I know I'm used to seeing them in Florida.
That might be that Henry County area, that bottom of that Henry County area. Because
okay.
I'm not familiar with a toll thing in Clayton County because we don't have that.
Okay. Okay. See, that's probably what it is. I wasn't quite sure what county it was in, but I know the exit you get off and go over to Jonesboro. So, it could be in another county. You know, if I see it there, it's something that probably going to be in the future, even for Clayton County and all the surrounding county, because it's off 75. It's outside Atlanta. When you get to the exit, one of the exits, I can't remember whatever it is in Jonesboro, but I just remember seeing it when I was traveling back and forth up 75 from Miami or Fort Lauderdale up to Atlanta, up to South Carolina, up to D.C. and the different places. So I was just asking about it, and it might be something that may have been in the future, since we had a question about the rail and the monorail, and I just want to kind of throw that in. Brother Tim, we have one more question that I'm going to ask, and I just want to get your opinion in regards to this.
Go ahead.
It's back on the national scene. You know, the United States government will shut down on tomorrow if the national budget is not approved. How do you feel about the efforts or lack of effort by the national level of government, meaning the various level, like the houses, the political part of it, and the games they're playing to decide, you know, if you give me this, I give you that. But tomorrow is the deadline for the government, and all the officers and people having jobs will shut down because they won't have a budget to operate on. Give me a thought on that. Just a few minutes to talk about that. Yes.
I think as a Democratic person, and when you're dealing with the Republicans, I respect a lot of the Republicans, but I think as Republicans, they're playing this game. When you're playing with people's livelihood, that's very important. You got to think about a budget. We have, I'm sure in any budget, you have an ample time to get that budget together, to get it voted on, and get it ready for the people. But at this point, I think we're playing kind of like, you know what, you give me this, you give me that. I feel like we need to get out the games. I can work with a Republican, and I'm a Democrat. I can work with any Republican. If it's for the efforts to getting the job done, to making a better county or district or city. But I think we're playing games with people, and I don't like that, playing games with people's livelihood, because people have bills to pay. People got jobs. They live off their income. And if we're as elected officials being called and elected by the people, and we can't come up with a budget at a right time for us to meet our deadline, something is wrong with that.
You're so right, brother. I do appreciate your thoughts on that. Coach Smith, do you have anything you want to add and ask our guests before we get ready to wrap everything up?
No, I just the government shutdown. I was reading a few seconds ago that they have passed a short-term spending bill, and it says that in the New York Times it's going to set up a shutdown about it in the Senate. I think the Democrats are really tired of the Republicans can't plan these little tick-to-tack games. So this is really about to be a battle that we're going to see within the next week or so. In my opinion, it's almost like who's going to be the biggest and baddest and who's going to last the longest? That's the whole thing. Are you going to give up first? Am I going to give up first? It's a game. And like the minister said, I don't like games, especially when you're playing with people's livelihoods, money. It's uncalled for, but it all starts at the top. When the president plays games, so does his board. So if we have a president that is out here playing like he's at Chuck E. Cheese, then we got a circus going on. And that's what we live in. We live in a circus. So whatever happens tomorrow, if they jump through the fire or somebody get burned, oh well, it starts at the top.
And when you say, not to, just to kind of piggyback off you, that's why when I talk to people about running for office, we need to get more people that's really going to represent and really do the right thing when they get in office, because we have tons of people sitting in positions that really they've been in a position for 20 years and they need to just give it up, and they need fresh blood to take over and really do the right thing. Because I think if you have level-headed people in there, they wouldn't be going playing tit for tat for the people budget.
That's great. And, you know, that was some great response, and I do appreciate it. Brother Tim, we're down to about 5 minutes, a little bit over that. If you just want to take an opportunity to just share some of the things that that you're dealing with and some of the projects that's happening very soon with your game changers, even in regards to the candidacy for county commissioner, you have an opportunity to share that with us.
Well, right now I got a new project on the scene, which is building up neighborhoods, which I go to each neighborhood, and my first project, I've been to three neighborhoods already. Well, when you go into neighborhoods and they don't have an HOA, a lot of neighborhoods around in my district don't have an HOA. So there's no kind of grooming, no kind of keeping your grass cut, trash everywhere. So what I have did is go into neighborhoods and say, hey, you might not have an HOA, but let's get together a team to keep your community and your neighborhood clean. My first neighborhood was probably a month ago. We collected about 15 bags of trash, tires and everything out the community just to clean it up. Because I believe if you have a clean neighborhood, people will want to move to your neighborhood. if you got trash and everything, you got broke down cars in the neighborhood, you got washing machines in your driveway, you can't attract people to come and move to your neighborhood. So one of my projects right now is going to every neighborhood, make sure it is clean. Even if you don't have an HOA, a lot of people that do have an HOA, they don't have a problem with trash. They don't have a problem with their mailbox falling apart. They don't have a problem with broke down cars in their garage. They don't have a problem with washing machines and their grass because it's a part of their HOA fees. It's a part of HOA rules. But we have to change the mind. We have to get the people that want to have an HOA to change their mindset to say, if we get an HOA, then we can have this too. Because a lot of our neighborhoods, people are content with just what they have in their neighborhood and don't want anything better.
That is awesome here, and that's great. But what I need for you to do now, Brother Tim, is kind of leave us some contact information, let our listeners know how, if they want to contact you, whether it's through Facebook, email, telephone, however you want to give the information to the listeners right now, if you would.
All right, y'all can contact me by my phone number, my second phone, 404-587-1761. That's my second line. You can contact me on Facebook, Timothy Kinney, Timothy D. Kinney on Facebook. You can contact me, Timothy D. Kinney, on Instagram. You can contact me, Timothy D. Kinney, on Twitter, Timothy D. Kinney on Periscope, as well as you can reach me at Timothy, T-I-M-O-T-H-Y, underscore, Kenny, K-E-N-N-E-Y, at hotmail.com. And I repeat it again, Timothy, T-I-M-O-T-H-Y, underscore line, Kenny, K-E-N-N-E-Y, at hotmail.com if you need to reach me.
That is awesome. Well, again, we thank you for coming on, Timothy, and I will communicate with you very soon, and we'll talk a little bit and share some ideas and prepare to get together. And now you come up there to Jonesboro. Matter of fact, I have two sisters stay in Jonesboro. So I'll be coming up and we'll get together and we'll talk. And any way I can help you, any way real talk can help you, talking real to you can help you, just call us anytime. Lauren, you have anything else you want to share?
We will be up there to help you because me and a couple of people that I associate myself with, we're trying to find positive things to do not only in our community but also in communities around our living area. So, yeah, we will be in contact with you because I know a lot of these kids want to do volunteer work, not just in Alabama but in other states. So I think that you're doing an amazing thing.
Not to cut you off, another thing is if you have any kids that can make it to anything that we have in the Mercedes-Benz, we have a foundation that we have, and they can come work 1 or 2 hours, watch the game, do all that stuff. Anything that's happened like January 22nd, we have the Battle of the Bands. It doesn't take anything for them to – it's free. All they got to do is come, work a couple hours, watch the Battle of the Bands in the Mercedes Club. I do it with my teams. It takes them out that momentum of I can achieve this and, you know, working a few hours at the cash register or doing stuff and be able to watch the Battle of the Bands on the 27th of January.
And
we're in charge of – huh?
I said that's awesome. We're down about 50 seconds before we have to close out. And we thank you for coming on. We're going to have to close it out tonight, and we'll get back with you. And we really appreciate you coming on, Timothy Kinney, and the job he has done tonight. He shared a lot of good information. So you have an awesome night, and we're going to say good night from Real Talk 2, actually talking real to you. This is a blog show on every Thursday night at this time, 8 to 9, which is 8 Central Standard Time, 9 Eastern Standard Time. You have an awesome night. Good night, and we're going to close the show out tonight.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Cause I'm faded. Honey's in the streets. Say money, oh, we made it. It feels so good.